get the hour underway by welcoming to the program a singer-songwriter whose songs have been recorded by the likes of Trisha Yearwood, the Dixie Chicks, Susie Boggess, Brooks and Dunn, although nobody sounds better singing her songs than she does. Her 10th album, by my count, is called A Long Way Back, The Songs of Glimmer. We are so happy to be joined this afternoon by Kim Ritchie. Kim, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, Rich.
I have enjoyed your music, since the very first album back in the 90s, and I was so excited to hear this new take on The Songs of Glimmer, which is one of my favorite albums of all time. What made you want to go back and revisit them?
Just to kind of let the songs kind of have a little bit more room to breathe rather than with all the production and everything. And it was also the anniversary. So I thought that would be kind of a cool way to commemorate the anniversary of that record.
Were there people who got caught up in the production and missed out on the quality of the songs 20 years ago?
Oh, man. Yeah, definitely. Definitely, especially here in Nashville. The press was all about the production and everything and didn't really pay attention to the songs. And I think it's a pretty good batch of songs. So that was a little disappointing, but it's funny that, I think I have a couple different groups of fans. There are the people that are the Bittersweet album kind of diehards. And then there are the Glimmer people. And I think they kind of came on board when Glimmer was out there. So, you know, it definitely had its appeal to a lot of people. It just wasn't as country as the other first couple records.
And you worked with Sting's producer, and I understand just that the situation was a little unusual. I think you recorded, was it in New York, and you didn't know a lot of the musicians?
Yeah, no, I went from, the first time I first record, I didn't know a lot of the musicians. Some of the songwriters came in and played, but I already spent a lot of time with Richard Bennett. And the Glimmer record, I didn't know any of those guys. I got to know them, but at the first, for me anyway, it was just kind of a rocky start because I just didn't know. I just didn't really feel, you know, all that comfortable with the way. Like, we took like two or three days just to get drum sound, you know, in New York, and I was just thinking, oh my gosh, this is going to cost a bajillion dollars, And so I got to be, you know, good friends with everybody afterwards. And, Hugh was great. One of my most favorite things about making a record with him was he's just so up for anything, for trying anything, you know, any of the musicians or with me. Like if I was sitting in the studio kind of humming apart, he said, why don't you go in and, put that down in the vocal booth and, you know, we'll either do something with that vocally or maybe it's a melody for an instrument to have later. So he was really, really great to work with.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because one of my favorite parts of the Glimmer album were the backup vocals, which I thought were tremendous, and a lot of those were you.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, man. That's my most favorite thing is singing harmony. I'd rather, if I had my druthers, that's what I would do. I'd rather do that than be the lead singer.
So obviously the production is different this time around, but I also wonder if 20 years of life experience changed your interpretation of the lyrics at all.
Well, not change the interpretation. It was just it was nice for me to look back on the time when I had written those songs and what was going on in my life and everything. I think when you hear a song or something from a while back, you can instantly, you know, it instantly transports you to that place and time and brings back all these memories. And it's the same with with songwriting. Like, I went back to when I would listen to the songs or be working on them, everything. It just brought up all these memories about the people I wrote the songs with and what was going on in my life during that time and everything. I don't know that I've gained any new insights or wisdom, you know, since then. But it was really fun to go back and get to sing those songs again.
We're talking with Kim Ritchie on Downtown. As much as I love the original, these new interpretations just really allow your voice to shine and let those lyrics take center stage.
Oh, cool. Thanks. I appreciate it. That's Doug Lancio was the producer, and he played pretty much everything on the record.
What was the process like in recording it this time around?
Well, we worked in Doug's basement studio, and so it was quite a bit different than New York and townhouse in London and stuff. So it was more kind of laid back. And it was funny because we weren't quite sure. At first we started out and we were thinking, you know, and I said, well, let's, you know, thinking of it as a guitar and vocal thing, just really super stripped down like you would do at a songwriter night or something. And then I thought, there's no reason for me to play guitar with Doug here. He's just a fantastic guitar player. So then he started playing, you know, playing guitar. And we said, well, okay, you can play guitar and bass and other stuff. We said, but no drums. Because there's enough drums on the old record for both of them. So no drums. That was our rule. And then I came in one day and Doug had a track up. And I said, is that drums? And he said, no, no, drum machine. I was like, oh, okay. So then I came in another time and I heard drums again. I was like, is that drums? And he goes, no. He goes, I'm playing it. I'm playing the drums. It doesn't count as drums. So then it went from that to where we had Aaron that lived across the, he lived on the next door to Doug and Aaron Smith. And he's just a really great, great drummer, like played on Papa Was a Rolling Stone and stuff. And I got to be friends with him. You know, we talk over the fence and stuff when we were out taking breaks out in the yard. And I came in then towards the end, we had about three more tracks left and Aaron's sitting in there. And Doug said, what do you think about Aaron putting some drums on these tracks? And I said, yeah, it would just be, you know, it'd be criminal not to have him play. He's such a great player and just a super sweetheart of a guy too.
Well, a little banjo sneaks in there, and I don't know if it's trumpet or flugelhorn that shows up on Long Way Back is so good on that.
Oh, I'm glad you like that. I love that. That might be my favorite track, and I love Dan Mitchell that played flugelhorn. I knew for sure that I wanted him to come in and play on a couple things, and he plays keyboards as well on a few songs and sings. I met him when I did a record. Which record was that? It was maybe Wreck Your Wheels, I think, possibly. And I didn't really know him. And Nielsen suggested we have him come in and play flugelhorn. And it was just like, it was so beautiful. It just kind of broke your heart in the best possible way. So I was really, really happy to have him, you know, come and play on that.
My favorite song on the album, as it was 20 years ago, is The Way It Never Was. And you had me at the title. I wondered, did the title come to you first and then you wrote the song around it, or were you working on the song and here's the hook?
Well, I have to say, I wrote that song with Tom Littlefield, my friend who I was just talking to a couple of minutes ago, great songwriter, and he's the one that came up with that. So I have to give him credit for that. And then he and I worked on the song together. But yeah, that's total Tom Littlefield, The Way It Never Was.
When you're collaborating, and you've written with so many people through the years, do you usually do it in person or do you work on your parts separately?
Oh, in person, mostly, you know, except for now. Now, I've tried writing on Zoom, which is just really weird because of the lag time and everything. But things have kind of loosened up a little bit here. I have one of my friends who I ride a lot with, Mondo Signs. Now he comes over and we sit far apart under my carport and have been working on songs. But I love the interaction, like the back and forth of writing with people. It just makes me, like, you know, somebody might say something and that'll make me think of something and that'll make them think of something and then that'll make me think of something. So it's just the collaboration is just great.
Hey, speaking of your home, are people behaving themselves now in Nashville? Because our friend of the show, Roseanne Cash, had posted some pictures a while back on social media of her daughter with people gathered at all the night spots. And I thought, oh, no, please.
Yeah, no, you don't want to get me going on that. It's not good, I don't think.
Well, it's not good a lot of places. And how this became political, we were talking about it earlier in the show. It just amazes me that something that seems so basic and that other parts of the world have been doing as a practice for years has suddenly become a sign of who you're going to vote for. It makes no sense.
No, it really doesn't. And you can't, like, when people disagree on something like this, it's almost trying to talk about religion. You know, it's like there's no, you know, if people say, if they don't believe in the science, or, you know, we just can't, there's, I don't know where you find common ground with that is what I'm trying to say. Cause it doesn't kill anybody to wear a mask. And, you know, if it helps people, I've got a few friends that are, immune compromised, and I just think, why not, you know, if it could help somebody or, you know, save somebody's life, what's the big deal?
Yeah. I mean, even if it just makes them feel safer and shows them a little respect.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. I'm with you. How are you guys doing up there?
We've actually been pretty lucky here. Our numbers have been very, very good, although skewed a little bit in the last couple of weeks. Some folks had a wedding a couple of weeks ago up here and had a big reception inside with no masks, and that's led to, I think, close to 200 cases all over the state.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
Wow. I think that's the danger. You know, people are tired of being cooped up, but I mean, it's not that, we just have to do it. You just have to kind of suck it up and take care of everybody. That's when we kind of get in trouble too. I think when people are just letting their guard down, because it's not as bad as we thought maybe it was, like on surfaces and stuff like that.
Got to be so frustrating for performers, though, just to not be able to do what you do and not really know when it's going to be safe again to be doing live performances.
Yeah, it's hard, but I mean, you know, I have a house to live in and I have enough food and you know, I just feel pretty fortunate to be in the position that I'm in, because I know a lot of people have it a lot harder, and I the uncertainty is tough on people. I think that's kind of taken its toll on everybody, you know, let alone people who can't go to work now. I mean, I was hearing some stuff about the, you know, the airlines, the workers and stuff, and they were saying, well, we need to know if we're going to get laid off or not, because it's time crunch. We need a plan B if we're not going back to work. And it's just, the uncertainty is a big blanket kind of thrown over top of everybody.
We're talking with Kim Ritchie. Her new album is A Long Way Back, The Songs of Glimmer. I told you in an email, we had Radney Foster on recently. We had a great time talking with him. Of course, you wrote Nobody Wins with him, and you're out touring with him around this time last year.
Yeah, yeah. You know, on the phone, like, I have these, like, little Google alerts for pictures, Google does it. It's kind of like they pop up on your phone. It's like, here's what you're not doing anymore. It's kind of like that mean thing is like, you were doing this last year. Wasn't that cool?
Yeah, remember when you were having fun back then? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had one pop up of a place where Radney and I were playing, but he's a good pal. He's part of the reason why I came to Nashville in the first place, because I wasn't doing music. I was cooking. I was living up in Bellingham, Washington. And Radney and Bill Lloyd, you know, they were in Foster and Lloyd, and they were touring up there. And Bill Lloyd's a really close old friend. We were in a band in college together. And so he and Radney were up there, and I, you know, rode around with them a little bit on the bus and sold T-shirts one night for them. And you know, Radney said, you know, Radney and Bill said, you should come to Nashville. And so my boyfriend and I did, on a lark, pretty much. And so, you know, years later, I'm still here, but he also gave me a big break singing on his so much on his record, on his solo debut album too.
Yeah, Del Rio, Texas. So 1959, yeah. Great album.
Yeah, really, really, really good album. It was so much fun to go out with Rad and get to sing harmony on all those songs, because that's the way we did the tour. We were just both up on stage together and played on each other's songs.
And you mentioned it, you started late on it. You didn't get your first recording contract until I think you were in your mid-30s. So for anybody who's not sure about pursuing their dreams, there's no expiration date on that.
Yeah, I guess not. I was pretty fortunate that I had somebody, you know, willing to take a risk. I mean, Mercury Records signed me, and I always say this, but they always gave me more than enough rope to hang myself. And they just, you know, they were never telling me what to record or how to look or, you know, what to do or what songs or, you know, who to work with. Nothing like that.
What was the experience like recording Chinese Boxes in London with Giles Martin?
Well, that was really fun because Giles is a really good friend. I met Giles when he came here way before we made that record. He was here to do some songwriting. and I got fixed up with him to work on some songs, and we just became friends. He was here a couple different times, and then when I went over to London, got to know him. So he's become one of my best pals over there, him and his family. So it was really fun to work with Giles, and I got some of my London crew to play on the record too. So that was really great.
Like the rest of the free world, I'm a big fan of Jason Isbell, and you worked with him on one of his albums, singing backup. How is his recording process?
Well, I went in there to sing on one song. I remember I wasn't feeling very well. I had some kind of, it was all, the doctor, I had to get a steroid shot because I was about out of it. I think I'd had walking pneumonia or something earlier before, so I wasn't feeling my best, and I went in there and was to sing on one song, and it was just him and Dave were in there, and I had been kind of practicing the song, and I went in there and sang it, and then Dave said, what else can we have her sing on? And so then they played Stockholm, and I'd never heard that song before, you know, until I got in the studio there. And I said, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to sing right from the beginning all the way through and just try to figure some parts out. And y'all just keep what you want, you know, keep what you want of it and whatever. So, and they ended up keeping most everything.
Well, when you do that, when you go in to sing a backup, is it up to the producer, or do you pretty much go in and find the harmony parts yourself and let them use what they want?
Well, most people are like, I get to, you know, they want me to come in and do what I do. Like, I'm not really a huge fan of going in someplace and somebody telling me exactly what to sing. They might have a part in mind or something, but I think I have a pretty good ear for harmony and some parts that are a little different than just kind of parallel harmony. So that's when I really like it, is when they let me kind of do my thing.
Do you like recording or playing live better?
Well, I like them both, and I miss them both. So, I mean, it's a completely different thing. You know, there's immediate gratification in both instances, and it's just they're just two really different things, and I love doing both of them.
I understand when I think I told you that Stephen King owns their station, and you told me you were a big Stephen King fan.
Yeah. But I've read pretty much everything that he's written. I think he's a really good writer. And the only thing I haven't written that I keep meaning to, that Gretchen Peters, and I just keep forgetting to get it, is his book on writing.
Oh,
I want to read.
It's great. Yeah. Actually, we were talking about that with Radney a couple of weeks ago, and he used that as some of the inspiration for writing his short story collection.
Yeah, I need to do that. I just can't. I tell you what, my brain's just gone even more mushy during this thing than normal. but I need to do that. But we also listen. When we were touring, we'd have there'd be three or four of us in the car or the van or whatever, and so we'd listen to books, you know, audio books.
Oh yeah,
and we listened to a lot of Stephen King. And it's funny because I remember one time there were three of us, and I can't remember what book we were listening to. And we went in to get some breakfast, and the lady said, well, it's going to be a half an hour. And we all looked at each other and went, no problem, and went back and sat in the car and listened to the book. Because we were right at an exciting part. But, you know, his writing is so visual, and it was really fun for us to listen to those books as we're rolling down the, you know, down the road.
That's awesome. Kim, I have enjoyed your music for so long, and the new album, well, to me, it's done what I didn't think could be done. It made one of my favorite albums even better. It's called A Long Way Back, The Songs of Glimmer. It's great to finally talk to you, and thanks so much for being with us today.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you very much, Rich. I sure appreciate you having me on, and thanks for all the nice things you've said about the new record.
Well, thank you. Be well, stay safe, and hopefully we can talk again down the road.
All right, you too. Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
That's Kim Ritchie with us here on Downtown.